I want you to open your Bibles, please, this morning to a very familiar Psalm, Psalm 23, for the message this morning. I'm going to read just a couple of verses out of the first part of this Psalm and then basically just speak to you from a couple of words in a phrase. And then I'm going to have you turn over to the book of Proverbs for just a moment. And I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the paths of righteousness. The paths of righteousness. We have a very familiar verse here in Psalm 23. Of course, you know the psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When the Lord is your shepherd, you don't need anything other than the shepherd. That's all you need. You have need of nothing. Christ is our provision. Verse 2 says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." Now watch this phrase. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He doesn't lead us in the paths of righteousness for our own sake. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His sake, for His name's sake. In other words, we are to be a reflection of Him. We're to be a good testimony. We are to let others see the light of Christ in us. Now, hold your place there and go over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And I want to read just a couple of verses here. Again, very familiar verses of Scripture, beginning in verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy," what's the next word? "Paths." All right, so there we have the word paths again. And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the paths of righteousness. I want you to pray with me and ask the Lord to speak to your heart this morning and to show you some things that will help you in your walk with God. And pray for me as I preach this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're so very thankful that we have a Bible we can preach from this morning. Lord, I do not have to stand up here and in my own wisdom or in my own understanding preach a message, but I can take Your Word, and there are great truths that are eternal truths, truths that will never change. And Lord, I can preach on these, and You have promised to bless the preaching of Your Word. Father, I pray that You will help me this morning to be able to communicate what is on my heart. Lord, I pray that You will also give understanding to each and every person. Lord, it's no accident that anyone came to church this morning. By divine appointment, You led each one of us here so that we could get something from Your Word today. Lord, You certainly knew what I was going to say, and so, Father, You've led each one of us here because there is something that You want us to get. So I pray that You will open our understanding and help us to receive with gladness, with joy, the Word of God today. Lord, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts. May in just a little while, when the invitation is given, each one of us realize our responsibility to the Word of God that we have heard. And Lord, may we draw nigh unto You. And You've promised that if we draw nigh unto You, You will draw nigh unto us. So Lord, if we leave here today with that close relationship, we know that our hearts will be blessed and that it will have been good to be in the house of the Lord. So Father, help us now this morning and just do what needs to be done in every heart. And we'll thank You for what You do in Christ's name. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the paths of righteousness. This is these verses of Scripture that I read for you this morning are some of the most familiar verses that you'll ever find in the Bible. And they talk about how the Lord leads us in the paths of righteousness. In that passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 3, we have in verse 5, what is our responsibility to do as believers? And our responsibility is to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to lean not unto our own understanding. That's where we get in trouble most of the time, is where we lean upon our own understanding. When we start looking at the circumstances around us, I have found through the years, this is by no means my first year in the pastorate. I've been around the pastorate for a long time now, and I have noticed through the years that everybody is looking for happiness. That just seems to be the rage today. Everybody today is looking for happiness. Everybody says, "Oh, I want to be happy." If you could ask people, what do you want in life? Oh, I just want to be happy. Just be happy and healthy, you know. And happiness is a goal that most people have. But I want you to understand that true happiness can only come as we are closely abiding in Christ. Our main goal in life should not be to be happy. You say, really? That's exactly right. Happiness is a byproduct of a right relationship with God. Our goal, our main goal should not be happiness, but to be in a right relationship with God. And as we are working to keep a strong, healthy relationship with God, as we are striving to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding, as that is our goal, then happiness will be a byproduct of that. We will just naturally find ourselves happy as we are serving the Lord. So happiness does not depend upon circumstances. It does not depend upon our circumstances, but upon how much like Christ I am becoming with each and every passing day. I remember many years ago, when I was pastoring down in Dixie, West Virginia, one of my deacons came up to me right between Sunday school and church, right before I was ready to go in and preach the message. And he walked up with a look of concern on his face, and he said, "Pastor, I hate to ruin your day, but..." Now, I remind you, I'm getting ready to go in and preach my sermon, and he is just bound and determined to ruin my day. And he did ruin my day, I'll be honest with you, with what he told me. And he told me what it was that he was the little tidbit of information he thought I just had to know before I preached that morning. Couldn't wait till after church to tell me. Had to tell me before the sermon. And I got to thinking about that after the fact, and how that he did ruin my day. And it dawned upon me that I should not let circumstances ruin my day. I should not let what he said to me impact me so that it made a difference in my day. And so circumstances are certainly not where you find happiness in life. Circumstances are merely a byproduct of your relationship to the Lord Jesus. I was preaching one time years ago, not as many years ago as the first illustration, but years ago I was preaching down south. And I'm standing on the pulpit, on the platform with the pastor of the church. We're singing the congregational song, and folks were coming in the building. And as we were singing, I noticed the door to the back of the church open, and this fellow walked in. Now, he looked to me like he had had an entire jar of dill pickle juice just before coming into church. I mean, he had a sour look on his face, just really kind of a scary look on his face. And he came in the door and walked down and sat down beside a woman who I know had a whole jar of dill pickle juice that morning. And they both sat there and scoured at everything and everybody. And the pastor looked over, kind of leaned over to me, and he said, "See, that guy just came in." I said, "Yeah." He said, "He's one of my deacons." I said, "Yeah." He said, "That guy's making my life miserable." And I turned around to the pastor and I said, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "Oh, no." He said, "Do you know him?" I said, "No, I don't know him, but I'm not commenting about the fact of who he is. I'm talking about the fact that you, as the pastor of the church, are letting one man control your life." And boy, he sat there just stunned. I mean, he was shocked. And but folks, how many times do we see this happen? We let the circumstances that we have to face, and brother, let me tell you something, if the devil finds out he can control you through your circumstances, you just mark it down, he's going to make sure that you get nothing but horrible circumstances to face every day of your life. And so I told this preacher after church, I said, "Listen, don't let some other human being govern what kind of life you're going to have. You do not base your happiness and your joy in the Lord upon other people or upon circumstances. Our job is to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, to lean not unto our own understanding. And if we'll do our part, God will do His part, and He will in all our ways, He will direct our paths. Folks, I'm talking about you getting on the path of righteousness. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell this or not, but I'm going to. That's what makes me such a tender pastor. I stay in hot water all the time. My wife had her gallbladder removed on Friday, and she's doing fine. She'll be here tonight. I made her stay home this morning because the doctors told her to stay home until Monday. But I don't want the fight, so she is coming to church tonight. But on Friday, we were in the pre-op room. And over the intercom, I know that you remember I taught you a lesson on music. I preached it this week in the conference during the day. But I taught you that music is a mood setter, and that you either enter into the mood or it will drive you crazy. You remember that? Well, that's kind of what we faced on Friday in the pre-op room. They were playing over the intercom music that I'm sure was supposed to calm all the people that were having surgery. It was driving me nuts. It was that Frank Sinatra stuff, you know, that stuff from the 50s and all that, you know, where they're crooning and they hit the note, you know, about four notes under it and slide into it. And I'm sitting there just on edge, you know, I said, get this surgery over with. This is driving me nuts. The lady came in about that time. Frank started cranking down on New York, New York, and I was about to pull my hair out. She said, "How are you doing, sir?" I said, "I think I need surgery. I think I need surgery. I need my my eardrums removed. My goodness, it was driving me nuts." Well, they played this one song that I have heard through the years, and every time I hear it, I just think, oh, that song is so off. That is so anti-biblical. And there was a commercial out that used this song here recently, and every time I heard it, I flipped the channel. I didn't want to hear it. But the song was from back in the 40s or back in the 50s years ago, you know, and it said, it goes, the first line goes, "Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue, my disposition depends on you." No! No, if you're letting your disposition depend on somebody else, folks, you have got it all wrong. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Not somebody else directing your path by the circumstances that they bring into your life. So I must reject the idea of becoming happy and adopt the idea of becoming Christ-like. And when I do that, then I'm on the path that the Lord wants me to be on. Now back in the Psalms, and just keep it where you can bounce back and forth here, because I'm going to be referring back and forth. Back in the Psalm, in Psalm 23, the Bible says, "He, the Lord, leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Folks, the paths of righteousness. I want you to understand that there is a path that God wants you to walk. There is a path. What is a path? It is a place where you can walk. It has been worn down. It has been worn away, and you can walk on that path to get from one place to the other. I remember years ago when I was down in West Virginia, we used to go deer hunting all the time. And you go out in the woods to bow hunt, and you know, you got the camouflage stuff on, you go out, and you find you a place in the woods where the paths cross one another. That's a good place. You're pretty much guaranteed you're going to be seeing some kind of wildlife if you're in a place where there's a lot of paths and where the paths intersect. And that's where we used to bow hunt all the time. The deer would walk the same way. They would go to the water the same way, or they would go to the fields the same way. And they're creatures of habit, and they would get on the same path and walk the same path. And if you could get where you were about 20, 30 yards from where those things intersect or where they come together, you're just about guaranteed you're going to be seeing deer. And that path is his design for that deer, he designed it himself. He walked on it until he patted it down and made a way for him to get from one place to another. Well, God has a path that he wants us to walk on. And if you look at your Bible, you will notice here that it is the Lord in both these verses. It is the Lord that will lead us in that pathway. And so we need to get on the paths that God has for us. Now, the first thing we need to understand about the pathway is this. We must understand the sin problem. There is a sin problem that all of us have to deal with. And we've got to understand that sin problem. For you see, sin is a barrier to me having fellowship with God. We must understand the sin problem. Now, I want to just take a minute here and make sure that we have a good understanding of the sin problem. Do we really see sin the way God sees it? And I don't think we do. I really don't think we do. We need to see the awfulness of sin. We need to see what sin is and what sin does to a holy and righteous God. And I'm afraid that we don't look at sin the way God does. I think that we have explained sin away. I think we have created language and terms to weaken and to soften sin and to make it palatable, to make it not quite as drastic as what maybe God sees it. And I think what the biggest thing that we've done with sin is this: if you do something wrong, it's sin. But if I do something wrong, it's a mistake. You see, I really didn't mean to do what I did, but I'm pretty sure you meant to do what you did. And so, I mean, let's be real. That's kind of sometimes how we look at sin. We do not see sin the way God sees sin. Everybody knows that a sin is worse than a mistake, and therefore you are bad and I'm not bad because mine was just a mistake and yours is sin. I remember arguing with some of my family who were Nazarenes, and boy, they had this thing defined down to a T. They could tell you what was sin and what was a mistake, but basically what it boiled down to was this: if you did it, it was a sin, but if I do it, it was a mistake. And I had them tell me that. I absolutely had them tell me that. And you see, our problem is we classify sin. We classify sin. I've got a bunch of Bible doctrine books back in my office. And every one of those doctrine books, even though they're written from a fundamental perspective, every one of those doctrine books breaks sin down and classifies sin, putting them in different categories. They say there's venial sins and mortal sins. Catholicism teaches this. There's venial sins and then mortal sins. A venial sin, the word venial means easily excused. It means pardonable, minor in nature, warranting only a temporary punishment. Venial sins would be like little white lies. You know, venial sins would be like cheating on the income tax. Venial sins would be like going over the speed limit on the interstate. But a mortal sin, that's something different. And so a mortal sin would be like you lie and people are hurt by your lie. A mortal sin would be like adultery or murder. These would be considered mortal sins. But venial sins, well, you know, they're just little things. We're not going to worry too much about them. What's wrong with that philosophy? What's wrong with breaking sin down and putting it into different categories? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. Now, God does not classify sin. God does not break it down and say, yeah, that's bad, but that's not as bad, and that's not as bad as that over there, but it's worse than this over here. No, God does not do that. In the Bible, in God's understanding, there is no such thing as good sin and bad sin. All sin is a barrier to fellowship with God. All sin. Doesn't make any difference what it is. That's why in the Song of Solomon it talks about the little foxes that spoil the vine. We are so on guard not to commit the biggies. We are so on guard not to lose our temper and curse. We don't mind losing our temper, just don't lose your temper and curse. You know, one of the things, they started this thing years ago about having this drunk driving thing. It said, it's all right to drink, just don't drink and drive. Oh, come on. Don't drink. You know, that'll solve your problem right there. Just, you don't have to worry about drunk driving if you don't ever drink. You know? They sent a contract home with the students in high school and say, sign the contract with your parents that you won't drink and drive. I tell you, none of my kids could have ever brought a contract home like that, and they know it. No, sir. Dad needs you to sign this. This says we'll never drink and drive. Let me tell you something. You drink, and you got the wrath of the old man waiting on you. Fooey on this driving stuff. You better not. I'm not so much concerned about you drinking and driving. I'm concerned about you drinking. You see the point? So sin is sin to God. Now, we need to understand that. We need to realize that. Listen, even those little foxes that spoil the vine, those little sins are a barrier to fellowship with God. That's why 1 John is in the Bible. That's why 1 John is in the Bible. If we confess our sins, it doesn't say if we confess our mortal sins. It doesn't say if we confess our venial sins. No, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So the idea is that sin is a barrier, and it'll keep us off the pathway. The sin is a barrier to fellowship, and it'll keep us off the pathway. Now, second thing I want you to see. I want you to see with me the way to Christ-likeness. The way to Christ-likeness. This is so important that we understand this. You look at your Bible. It says, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It says in the other passage of Scripture that He shall direct thy paths. Now, listen. Every believer needs to get on the path of righteousness. Every believer, every child of God. Now, the path of righteousness is the path that leads from justification to glorification. And that path is called sanctification. Now, watch me carefully. Over here is where I'm going to put justification. What is justification? Justification is a great big old 50-cent word, and it means this. It is the act whereby God declares a believing sinner to be righteous. It is the act whereby God declares a believing sinner to be righteous. Justification is this. It is me by faith as a sinner praying to God, and God, in His love and mercy and grace, forgiving me of every sin that I've ever committed and every sin I ever would commit, forgiving me of the penalty of that sin. What is the penalty of sin? The wages of sin is death. We could say the wages of sin is hell. That's what Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15 teaches. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. So the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is hell. What is justification? Justification is me as a sinner coming to God by faith and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. And God at that moment declares me justified. I am just as if I had never sinned. My sins are gone, separated as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me no more. I am forgiven of my sin and on my way to heaven. Nod your head. Do you understand that? That's justification. Now, go on the other side. What is glorification? Glorification is when I get to heaven at the trumpet sound. When the church is raptured, the dead in Christ rise first, then those of us that are alive and remain, and we go to heaven, see Him face to face, and receive our glorified bodies. What's that mean? That means that we're going to, at the rapture, leave these old sinful bodies behind. We are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And the dead in Christ shall rise, then those of us that are alive and remain, we go and we will see Him face to face. I like what John said about this in 1 John 3. He said, Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Right now, we are the sons of God. Right now, today, you are, if you're saved, a child of God. How'd you get that way? Through justification. You, by faith, came to Christ, and He justified you. Now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Are you watching? Right now, I'm a child of God, but it doth not yet appear, I'm not yet what I'm going to be. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And that, dear friends, is what we call, what Paul called, glorification. Here we are in heaven throughout all eternity. We'll live in this glorified body made like unto His glorious body. And that's when we get to heaven. Now, there is a path. Watch me now. There is a path that starts over here at justification, and it leads over there to glorification, and that is called your Christian life. It is called the process of sanctification. To sanctify something means set apart, to be cleansed, to set apart. And in the Old Testament, every time God sanctified something, it was so it could be used. The idea was to be a servant, to be of service to the Lord. So, there is a path that leads from here at justification, and it leads over to glorification, and that is what we call the path of righteousness. It is your Christian life, and God intends you to get on this path and to learn and to grow and to mature and to be what you can be for God so He can use you in His service. And the promise is that if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, if you lean not unto your own understanding, if in all ways you acknowledge Him, He will direct your path. He'll put you on this path of righteousness, and He will bless you, and He will use you, and He will empower you. He will strengthen you. He will open your understanding. Oh my, listen folks, this Christian life is the way to live for God and getting on the path of righteousness. And if we will do that, happiness is going to come. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor. Happiness is the Lord. And that's where we find that true happiness. People are trying to find happiness in things. You're not going to find happiness in things. People try to find happiness in toys. You're not going to find happiness in toys. People try to find happiness in money. You're not going to find happiness in money. Those are external things, and they do not satisfy, and they do not bring happiness. Happiness comes as I am on the path of righteousness, trusting in the Lord, and receiving happiness from the inside out, not the outside in. All right? Everybody got that? All right, I hope you do. Now, you say, well, Pastor, you mean I'm supposed to be on this path if I'm saved? You got it. That's exactly what I'm saying. And when you get on that path, it's called Christian maturity. You know what the Christian life is, folks? Here's the Christian life. You come into the family of God by faith through justification. And when you get saved, God gives you everything at salvation. He gives you His Word. He gives you His Spirit. He gives you the church. He gives you everything at salvation. You know what the Christian life is? The Christian life is you living in the path of righteousness, finding out everything that you got the moment you got saved. Does that make sense to you? You say, well, how do you do that? You get in this book right here. This book has everything in it. Everything. It'll tell you every benefit. We started a new insurance policy here in September, and Pastor Campbell hands out a policy book. And it has everything about your policy. It tells you what doctors you can go to, how much of this is covered, how much of that, what is not covered. It's just a manual that has everything in it about the policy. Well, I want you to know that book right there is a manual that has everything in it that you got when you trusted Christ as your Savior. And so what God wants you to do is to step away from here. You're justified now. You're going to be glorified. Start walking in that direction. And get in the book, and God will teach you and instruct you and guide you to show you everything you got when you got saved. Man, what an exciting thing is this Christian life. So I have a choice I've got to make. I've got a choice. Am I going to live in the path of righteousness? Am I going to live over here and enjoy all the blessings of God? Or am I going to stay back over here? Now, you know, the sad thing is, too many people decide just, well, I'm saved, you know. I got my salvation. I got my fire insurance. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm just content to sit right here. Oh, I'll come Sunday morning. And I'll raise my hand when Pastor says, if you're saved and you know it, raise your hand. I'll raise my hand because I know I'm saved. But Pastor, don't ask me to get out there on that path. Folks, can I tell you, that path leads you somewhere. That path leads you somewhere. And it's out there on that path where you're going to find happiness. Wouldn't do you a bit of good to go deer hunting and sit in the camp. Wouldn't do you a bit of good to go deer hunting and lay around in the cabin all day. No, you got to get out there in the woods and get on the path. That's where you're going to find the fruit. And my friends, that's exactly the way it is in a Christian life. God says, would you get over here? Get over here on the path. All I want you to do is read my book. All I want you to do is serve me. And you're not going to serve me until you get in the book. I just want you out of over here and on the path. And you get on that path, and He'll lead you in the paths of righteousness. The truth is, we do more backsliding than we do climbing. We do more backsliding than we do climbing. The truth is, there are more believers over there than there are out here walking in the paths of righteousness. But if you choose to live on the path of righteousness, then you're going to find the blessing. Now, if you choose to live over there, if you say, no, I don't want to get on the path, I'm going to stay over here, I'm saved, that's good enough for me, I'm going to heaven when I die, I'm content with that. Well, if you're going to stay over there, you got to realize there's some consequences to that. You see, there's some consequences. Don't forget, one thing will keep you from getting on the path, and that's sin. And sin always has a price. It always has a price. If you're over here, you're away from the source of happiness. So again, we go back. True happiness is only found in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no happiness over there. No happiness at all. But folks, you get in this book, man, listen, the Holy Spirit's the author of this book, is He not? That's what the Bible teaches. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God inspired this book. And who lives within you now that you're justified? The Holy Spirit. One of the most amazing things to me is when I read this Bible and the Holy Spirit teaches me something. Whew, can't wait to get in here and preach that one. Yeah. You see, the Holy Spirit will teach you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He'll lead you. It's such a wonderful thing to be out on that path of righteousness, trusting in the Lord and letting the Lord guide and direct your steps. My brother back here bought a new car a couple months ago. And we were sitting there last night watching the football game, and all of a sudden I had a Blizzard craving. You know the Blizzard, you know, Dairy Queen Blizzards? Oh, man, they're good. Now, that's not sin. That's a mistake. You see what we do with it? And so I said, I need a Blizzard. I didn't say I want one. I said I need one. I was trying to convince myself. And I said, who else wants one? Well, I took the order. I said, come on, Mike, take me down in your new car. We're only a mile down to the Dairy Queen at the end of our drive. So we got in the car, and we started down the road, and I wanted to see his new car. He's got this thing in the middle of his dashboard where the radio is supposed to be. That is a GPS thing, computer. And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. When we got in, the car started up, I looked down at the screen and it had 1711 Bachman Valley. Our house was on the screen, our road and our driveway, right there on the screen. Down in Beckley, Friday, when they left, he just punches it in there, and then it guides him. It tells him when to turn right, when to turn left, when you know, just guides him. Stop, get off at this exit, go to the stoplight, turn left. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. We're going just down the road to the Dairy Queen, 1 mile. And he said, look at this. And he hits a button that said restaurants. Hits a little button on there. And here's the road we're on. Bachman Valley becomes Magna Way. And then showed 97. And then it showed the road right across. And then it said Bullock's Airport Inn. Showed the restaurant. Now, I know it's closed now, but it just closed recently. But it showed that it was there. I mean, amazing. You could get in that thing and say, oh, I want to go here. Just push it, type it in. Boom. It'll take you right there. Isn't technology amazing? Folks, I want you to know that God designed that technology a long time ago. It's called the Bible. And if we, as believers, will just get in the Bible, we have the promise, just get in the Bible, and God will put you out here on this pathway that leads to the ultimate destination, to the place where He wants all of us to be, like His Son. But you see, our problem is we don't read the book. We just don't read the book. We got too many other things that are bidding for our attention. Folks, get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. That'll put you on the path of righteousness. I hear people all the time, oh, I just wish I could be happy. Well, let me show you how. Just move over here a little bit, get on the path, and then move up. That'll make you happy. That's where you're going to find happiness. How do you move over? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do you move up? How do you move up? Well, right here's how you move up. You get in the book. You get in the Word of God. You get in church. You get in church where you're under the preaching of the Word of God. You get in the Word and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how you move up. Folks, listen, there's no substitute. There's no substitute for a Christian being in the Word of God. There's just none. You know, we have substitutes for everything today, don't we? You know, margarine for butter. I'd rather have butter any day of the week. That's right. You say, that'll clog your valves. That'll clog up your heart. Well, you got to go somewhere. But I'd rather have butter any day of the week than that old margarine stuff. I mean, there's just some things that aren't as good as the real thing. And buddy, there's nothing that's as good as this right here. Just get in the Word of God and you'll grow. God will get you out of that state you were in, and He'll get you out on the path and say, okay, now there it is. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And the promise is He'll guide you with each and every step of the way if we stay in the book. And that's how, folks, we're going to find happiness. I find so many people, how you doing? Oh, not doing very good. What's the matter? Oh, you just don't know what we're going through, preacher. You just don't know. Yeah, I do. I hear it every week. Every week I hear it. I know what folks are going through. But folks, can I tell you where the answer is? It's right here in this book. Just get in the book, and you'll find the pathway to happiness. May God help us to get on that path and stay on that path as we live and serve our God. Let's bow for prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that You will speak to our hearts this morning. Dear Lord, we need to hear what's been preached, not just with our ears, but Lord, we need to hear it with our hearts. And I pray that, Lord, You will speak clearly and distinctly. Help each one of us to understand, to know, to realize that, Lord, sin is a barrier to our fellowship. It's those sins that we let go without confessing them, without bringing them to You. Lord, it's those sins that keep us from being on the path of righteousness, and they break down our fellowship. Lord, I pray that You will help us to realize that we need to get in the Word of God, and we need to grow, and we need to keep our sins confessed. We need to walk in righteousness. It's the path of righteousness. And Lord, the way to keep that pathway clear is to pray and stay in fellowship with You, not letting those sins pile up and get in the way. So Lord, help us this morning. I pray that every Christian in this building will get a hold of what I've preached this morning, and Lord, determine and purpose that they're going to get on the path, and they're going to trust You in all things. That Lord, they're going to let You guide them down that path of righteousness. Lord, one of these days we'll see You face to face, but until that day comes, Lord, we've got to stay faithful and got to stay busy. So Lord, bless us and encourage us and help us to do just that. Stir the hearts of Your people now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one looking around. How many folks here today will say, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart this morning. God's speaking to me. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. If I died, I'm going to heaven. I have no doubt about that. But Pastor, you're right. I haven't been going down the path like I should. I haven't been reading my Bible like I should, or haven't been faithful to church like I should. God's dealing with my heart right now. God's speaking to my heart right now. And Pastor, I want you to pray for me today. Would you raise your hand? Would you just raise your hand and hold it up for just a moment? Yes, God bless you, folks. God bless you. I see your hands. Thank you. You may put them down. Folks, let's get in the Word. Let's get on our knees. Let's get on our face before the Lord and let the Lord do some wonderful things for us today. Father, You know our needs today. Meet those needs of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to understand. Help us to see this little simple message about getting on the pathway. Lord, may Christ just encourage us and strengthen us. May, Lord, we humble ourselves and say, oh, Lord, I need You now. I need Your strength. I need Your blessing. Father, help each one of us today. I pray for every hand that was raised and just ask for the Holy Spirit of God to minister to the needs of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.